All right, Proverbs 30. 30 verse 17. Let's start there today, shall we? And then we're going to learn how to get married today in Genesis. 20. Why 20? I don't know. Another day. In preview of Esau and what's to come, maybe this will be a good one. This guy's Proverbs verse 30, not a good proverb. Somebody read that. What did I say? 30:17. Stop with the 20s, Jared. You're killing me. You implanted it in my head. Who's hungry? The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother. Okay, what do you call that? What is the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother? What quality are we talking about here? Disobedience, or the inability to submit to authority. Okay, our pastor back home in Texas tells a story. He was the chaplain of Louisville High School football before he went into the school. He was going to be a coach, and then God called him to the pastorate, and then he thought he was going to, a couple years in the pastorate, was like, I'm quitting, going back to coaching, this is too hard. But for a season of his life, he was the head chaplain of Louisville High School football team, okay? Now, you need to understand a little about high school football in Texas, okay? It goes God, football, and that can be debated, okay, as to which one comes first, family, and then everything else. It is cultish where I come from, okay? It is weird. You guys remember the movie Friday Night Lights? Friday Night Lights is about Odessa Permian football. That's West Texas. They're slightly more crazy about football than where I come from, but my high school regularly played Odessa Permian when we grew up, okay? So it's a whole different level, okay? This kid, one of the kids on this team that my pastor had the opportunity to observe, was one of only three-time All-Americans in the history of the state of Texas at this point. Now, this is back in the it's late 70s, early 80s, okay? So this guy was of the likes of, you guys remember the name Eric Dickerson? Eric Dickerson was a three-time All-American. For all you ladies, you're like, what? This guy was really, really, really good. I mean, incredible, right? He's a running back. He was so good that literally he had his choice of schools. It was like, where do you want to go? Wherever you go, you're getting a full ride. So he decided he was going to come to USC, okay? And he was going to replace at the time a guy by the name of Ricky Bell, okay, who was the runner-up for the Heisman way back, I think, in the early 80s. Really good player. And this guy was going to be groomed to be Ricky Bell's replacement at the University of Southern California, right? So that was his meal ticket. So our pastor is this guy's heading out, and season's over, says, hey, do you think this kid will be the next Heisman Trophy winner? Because he was that good, right? And the high school football coach said he will never touch the ball. He will never play a down of football at USC. And our pastor said, really? Like, why is that? This coach, over, you know, 3 or 4 years now working with this kid, saw a quality in this kid that he knew would be a death sentence to him. It would be doom. So sure enough, this kid goes out to USC. He plays for a little bit, never touches the ball, and he quits. Comes back to Texas, goes to Kilgore Junior College, right, which is in the middle of nowhere. If you're from Texas, you may have heard of it. Out past Tyler, Texas. Leads a rebellion. No, sorry. Gets kicked off that team because he chased a kid with a shotgun. Okay, so he gets kicked off that team. Goes to like East Texas State, I think it was at the time. Leads a rebellion against the coach. Gets kicked off that team. The guy's so good that SMU decides, we'll give you a tryout. So he plays for SMU for a while and quits that as well. So he gets kicked off two different teams. He quits two different teams. He was so naturally gifted that the Dallas Cowboys gave him like a walk-on tryout. Didn't make the team. But that's the kind of talent this kid had, okay? Our pastor had heard from him, the guy's living in like a common law marriage out in the middle of nowhere, trying to sue his current employer because they over some whatever, like just so he could get money. The quality that coach at Louisville High School saw in that kid was this one. He could not submit to authority, and it was the doom of him, right? This kid had more natural talent than 99.9% of the world in terms of his football gifting. Could have been a great player, would have taken him, you know, eons in life. At least he would have gotten a free education at a pretty decent college out of it, but he could not submit to authority. What is the end result, by the way, of a kid or an individual that does not have the ability to submit to authority? What does part B there say? That's what you did to an executed criminal in Israel. You threw them in the valley of Gehenna, and you let the ravens pick at their body. Like, that is what someone who can't submit to authority, they're as good as a dead, rotting, raven-picked carcass. Like, ugh, right? That's no bueno, okay? I don't know how you guys do in this area. I don't know what your tendencies may be in terms of authority over you. But thanks to Satan and Eve and the fallout from that, none of us tend to do real well with the natural desire and inclination to joyfully submit to the authority above us, right? Some of us have wonderful authority above us that is godly, that we respect, that we care about or whatever, and it makes it a little bit easier to submit until that your authority does something that you don't think they should have done or what have you. So some of us are on that end of the spectrum where it's easier. And others of you, as we've talked about before, work for non-Christians, have bosses that you don't respect, you question their decision-making, you question their integrity, and it makes it really, really hard, right? Regardless of situations that we're in, that quality needs to be one that is in all of us, okay? And obviously, as we've talked about before, there's a line somewhere where if you can no longer submit to the authority because of moral purposes or whatever, then, you know, you need to step away from that situation. But all of us are there. And all of us need to be young men and women that can do these things, or we will not end up far in life, or we'll end up like this kid did in the scriptures, or this kid that we talked about this morning who ended up being in a trailer park in the middle of Texas somewhere trying to sue his employer because he's good for nothing, and that was the end of his life. So something to ponder and consider. By the way, what happens, fellas, if you grow up with the inability to submit to authority? What happens when God grants you authority as a husband and as a father? How do you think you handle that authority? You either abuse it, right, which means you're a dictator. Ladies, how many of you want to live in a home with a dictator that says jump and you say how high? That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, right? What's the other extreme? Passive. You're just passive, right? You sit on the lazy boy with the remote and wife makes all the decisions because you've never really had to deal with authority, so you don't know how to handle it, right? So those are the two extremes. Not fun to be underneath that type of authority. So if you ever hope, guys, to handle authority properly, we have to first learn to submit to it before we're ever going to be able to handle it in a way that is godly and honoring to our wives and honoring to our kids. So something to noodle on, okay? So especially for guys, okay? Ladies have a tough challenge and that they have to be in a situation both underneath their fathers and then ultimately underneath the marriage structure to submit to that authority, which is tough, okay? So guys, do all of these ladies a favor and let's handle that authority that's been granted by God to us with respect and with diligence. And that starts by how you submit to authority now and how you'll handle authority later, okay? So thoughts or questions on this? This is, by the way, that is part of my bent. I struggle with this, right? My persister, black-white worldview, right, wrong. You're either on my side of the fence or the other side of the fence. There is no gray. Boy, I'm great when everybody's on my side of the fence. But when I have to debate things that I am passionate about and really care about with folks that have a different perspective that isn't right or wrong, it's just different. It is really hard for me at times to submit when it's just not the issue that I want. So that is, especially for persisters, you will find yourselves in that camp and just know that you're bent. So, yeah, thoughts? Am I the only person in the room that struggles with submission to authority? Good. These are all for me anyway, so. What's that? Perfect. All right. Well, tuck that one away. An hour later, you'll need it eventually. So,